Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Wide Open Wednesday. Wide Open Wednesday with your phone calls at 888-920-MORE. Let's go right to the phones. Let's get right to it, Oscar. Right now, hello, Mike O'Mara Show. You're on the air on Wide Open Wednesday. We are not waiting today.
Love it.
Hey, f*** you, Rob.
Oh.
Oh. Good start.
You know what?
Which one?
I was going to say.
It is going to be a smoking Wide Open Wednesday.
We didn't even announce we had guests in here yet.
Hey, get that guy's number in case we need him again.
Throw the pitch. Outside right hand. Over the right hand. All right. Let's take that's it? Well, I just promoted it. What the f***?
Hey,
I have to
language.
Do two edits in the beginning of the show. What's going on?
In our caller's defense, not just 2 minutes ago, the lines were completely locked.
So they're impatient is what they are. They're impatient. All right, let's take another one right now. This is Wide Open Wednesday at 888-920-MORE. I hope it's not the same guy calling back to cuss.
Somehow I hope it is.
I hope it's a different guy saying the same thing.
Hey, we're here with Rob. That was Joe. We're here with Rob and Joe from the Rob and Joe Show. That's how you introduce somebody. They get a funny in before we even introduce them. They get introduced. They move it up the food chain. Hello, Mike O'Mara Show. You are on the show. Hello.
Hi, is this Political Persuasions?
Are you giving me a hard time because I have not recorded any other Political Persuasions episodes, you know?
First time caller, one time listener.
Yes. Wow, they are running thick. That's two for two as far
That's
as
good.
I'm concerned. That's what can we do for do you
he's
for
anything? Gone. In and he's out, gone. Mike. In and
okay,
out.
Well, he
good.
Ran through his prepared shtick. He's done.
Now you're still simmering.
Well,
you're
how
still
would you feel? How would you feel?
I would feel horrible.
Yeah,
I would feel horrible.
And I want to say, I worked very hard to put these phones, to install these phones.
Yes.
We test them. We make sure they're as good as possible. And the first
I feed
call
you,
out of the
I
shoot.
Clothe you, and well, you better be a little nicer to me, Mr. Man. Let's take another call. I'm Wide Open Wednesday. It's 888-920-MORE. That is 888-920-6673. Right out of the chute, your phone calls today. Hello.
Hello.
You're on
Mike
the air.
Mike O'Mara Show, dumbass. Come on now. I mean, I said it three times.
Machine.
Hello.
Time machine?
Oh, I'm
no.
sorry.
No.
The timing
no,
is
no,
so
no,
bad,
no, no.
and you're trying to do shtick, and now that's it.
Yes,
right,
he's ruined it.
Now you're sour.
Now you've ruined it. You ruined it,
two
caller.
Two for three.
We were two for three. Not bad in baseball, but as far as calls go. But that's pretty good.
I would say one for three.
One for three.
I didn't like the first call as much.
Do we gamble one more time?
Ooh, we could bring our percentage
Oscar,
up to 750.
I'll be honest with you. Right before the show, I posted it's Wide Open Wednesday,
yes.
So I am motivated to take phone calls. And by the way, we are here with our friends Rob and Joe from the Rob and Joe Show.
Good morning, everybody.
And it's nice to see these guys here, and let's try it again. Hello, Mike O'Mara Show.
They've hung up, Mike. They've hung up.
Is it possible that they're so intimidated by that first caller that they know they can't top that?
Or did they just hang up after we promoted that Rob and Joe were here?
I like the second call. I like the second call when it was Political Persuasions giving me a hard time.
There
and, you know, I'm really not sure that I'm going to do another one. I really don't know yet. I have no idea. Let's take a call. Hello, Mike O'Mara Show. You're on the air at 888-920-MORE. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Mike O'Mara. This is Troy Elsker calling from Maine. I just wanted to say, no shtick, just want to say I love you guys, and I appreciate listening to you every day.
What part of Maine are you calling from?
I am calling from Western Maine by New Hampshire border in the White Mountains.
Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful place.
It's always color.
How cold is it up there?
Oh, it's not too bad today. It's sunny and about mid-50s.
Ah, okay. Pretty good. Looking forward to getting back up to that neck of the woods. Thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it. I'm
Have
wide
a great day,
open.
Guys.
Thank you. Bye bye. Go, Oscar.
Horrible call. Two for four.
That's when, like, when I'm saying that, that's yes. when you just boom, boom. We'll get it down. We'll get it down, right?
Sometimes you like to talk to them, sometimes you don't.
No, no. When I'm saying, hey, thanks a lot. It's been great talking to you. Just
okay.
Go
yeah,
on. It's difficult to do because Oscar's controlling the phones, and you've done that on the Big O and Duke show.
Yeah,
for years,
but I've
right?
never done it with someone that's thousands of miles away. That's
I know.
Different. That's the only different part because like that's hard
I
to
think
tell.
The, really, I think the operative term would have been you've never done it with somebody whose mind works as fast as mine.
That's true.
But anyway,
that's very true. That's,
is there a skill and art to the controlling?
Yeah, yeah.
The phones?
Let me explain how it works. Okay, so if you're say I am talking to a caller. And this little peek behind the curtain here. I'm talking to a caller. He said, hi, where are you from? He said, with his name, and he said, with his location. So immediately I know it's not going to be a lengthy
See,
visit.
See, at that point, I would hang up.
Yeah, but I don't want to hang up because we are just now nurturing Wide Open Wednesday with these phone calls, and I don't want to be too abrupt. However,
because they weren't going to offer anything to begin. Why would we prolong?
And when
that?
I think of Mike O'Mara, I think of the word nurture.
Well, you know what? It was not, all right. I have no chance today. I have no chance. I'm just explaining to you, I would take the call. I was curious about Maine.
Yes.
Because that's where I'm headed. And I was really, actually really legitimately, personally curious. Didn't care about the listeners. I was curious about what the temperature was up there. Just, you know,
and
mildly
you say,
curious.
Wouldn't you say that every caller, if it's handled in the right way, has something to offer?
Some potential.
Yeah. I mean, so. Sometimes it requires work on our part to get it, but
yeah,
there's
it
usually
be-
something there.
It can be so bad, it's good.
Precisely.
It can be so bad, it's good. But the way I do it is that, after the pleasantries, what's the temperature? Well, thank you very much. As soon as I'm starting to say thank you very much.
Just
and you know what I have to
here.
Do? I have to communicate with you with hand signals, and it's kind of difficult to do that. So I'll go like this.
Okay, there you go.
I'll go like this.
There you go.
That's,
okay.
That's
easy. That's not
like
that's
that.
Not difficult at all. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Or, but then again, the five people that are watching us on Ustream will know – what I'm doing, so I'd like it to be less Caesar-like and dramatic that way. But it doesn't
Caesar.
Matter. Nobody's calling anyway, so I don't
What care. About this? What about what? This? This is perfect.
Oh, yeah. Give him one of those. Cut it on the
yes.
throat.
Yeah.
You see that okay
throat slash.
You are?
Yeah,
you see
throat
that
slash.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
And if
All
you
right.
just did that like you were reaching for a piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
throat slash.
That's right. People will be All tricked. Right.
All right, you said well, and you'll kill that call
yeah,
like a
done.
Baby bison.
They're dead.
Like a baby bison in a national park. All right, start the show, Rob. I'm ready. I can't.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Tonight on Murder, She Wrote.
What's your angle on this, Mrs. Fletcher? Oh, I know. Never hurts to steal from the headlines, right?
Excuse me?
No, you're researching a new book. Murder on the Great White Way, that sort of thing, right?
Guilty as charged, Mr. Cullen. But, of course, as you know in mysteries, timing is of the utmost importance.
Yeah, naturally.
I mean, for example, what time did Mr. O'Mara leave here last night after he finished his review?
Oh, he didn't come in here at all. He wrote at home.
Oh, I see. You mean a messenger picked up his review?
No. We're all on computers now. You see, O'Mara wrote his reviews on his home computer and then sent it in here by modems over the telephone.
Oh, my goodness, how modern.
Yeah, the reviews came in on a printer like this one. Oh, those machines can do anything except write. But some of our reporters can't do that either, so... But the machines check out the spelling, and they even note the time pieces come in here.
And what time did Mr. O'Mara's review come in last night?
Let's see. 11:15. Oh, I see what you're getting at. He must have died right after that. Talk about going with your boots on.
Nancy Sinatra.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Coming to you live from the Cappy Fiverr studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are on the air and online worldwide, the Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. If you're here, you do too. Our show today is brought to you by Blue Apron. I once again, I'm using video for an audio show, but I'm going to show you that I have in front of me, I have Nepalese chicken. I have roast pork and mashed potato. I have meatball ragu. I have grains of paradise. I am talking about all these meals that Mrs. O'Mara and I have been enjoying from Blue Apron. And after the show today, for lunchy, because Carla had it last night, and I did not have dinner with her last night. We weren't speaking. No, I'm kidding, of course.
Simply a
I'm
joke. Kidding.
I'm looking forward to my Nepalese chicken tarkari.
Ooh.
With garlic, spinach rice, and spiced tomato sauce. All these phenomenal meals are created by Blue Apron and sent to you. They send everything, the protein. They send the directions on how to do it. The recipes are in there. The spices are in there. Everything you need is included from Blue Apron. They set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. It's so delicious. You're going to love this. I love my Blue Apron more than anything. We get excited when it comes to the house because we eat Blue Apron every single week in the O'Mara household, and you can too. When it comes to variety, flexibility, and ease, you can't beat Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get two meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook.
You cooked one of them last week, didn't you? You posted on Facebook that you did one of them, yeah.
I think I cooked one yesterday.
How great was that?
The night before last, I cooked one. I cooked the meatball ragu.
It's fun, isn't it?
Why don't you do all three like my mom?
Yeah, and then store them.
Because Mrs. O'Mara likes to cook, and she likes to post her little pictures of diminishing terminology. I shouldn't do that. She likes to post little pictures of her.
Cute little lady-like pictures.
I'm sorry.
The little filly likes to take little pictures.
She's cute with her camera.
Put the pictures online of the food that she makes, and she does a great job with it, with the photos, too. They're almost restaurant quality advertisement.
Mike, are you working on making amends with your wonderful, beautiful wife after what happened this past weekend?
Yeah.
It feels like you're walking on eggshells.
I might be a little edgy. I might be a little sleep deprived. I might be somebody who's. I think we had a good night last night, but it's still it's a delicate truce right now with my bad behavior. My bad behavior that I was unaware of. But like any guy, you cruise along through life and you don't realize that you're making the mistakes. And by the way, you know, with this show, which is like the misogyny train. And by the way, we just brought one and two to add to our family today. We might as well bring Rob and Joe in, for God's sake, because that'll help my situation.
The Disciples of Misogyny.
Yeah, it's the Disciples.
We got your back.
That's the name of the band. And we are joined by Rob and Joe, and it's good to have you boys. Nice little polite round of applause.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Welcome. I always feel like you guys, I welcome you from Baltimore, but you're all over. You're in D.C. and you're in Baltimore.
Well, they're D.C. guys now, but they have like a Baltimore stank to them sometimes.
Sure.
Yes, it's a good way of putting it. We're international.
how is... You know, technically, aren't we all? We really are.
Yes. Yeah.
By the way, I am seeing more and more, I don't want to say they're jumping ship from the Mike O'Mara Show, but I'm seeing people that have like really put you up on their cover pages and, you know, are really, you know, sharing the love with Rob and Joe and the Rob and Joe Show online. And I hope you guys are feeling a little of that love.
Most of those people we want to go back to your show if we can do that.
So I think it's a testament, if I could be a little serious here, I think it's a testament to what you guys have been doing where you have been putting out a podcast on a regular basis and you have been working extremely hard to make sure that you continue that process, and it's not easy.
A lot of content is there every week.
A lot of people get and they're like, "Oh, I'll do one," and then they usually start making excuses by year one that we're not making any money, we're not really getting anything returned. Is it worth our time? And then it becomes a bi-weekly thing, like Tech 411, and then once in a while you forget a week, and
Then you start drinking during the,
yeah,
the podcast.
Then you wonder what happened. And I think the most flattering aspect of this is our friend Patton was here, I want to say 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And he said, I still look in on the Rob and Joe show.
He said it's great.
Program.
He said it's great to follow the D.C. Baltimore comedy scene, which is where he started. And he said it's so great to get behind the scenes look of what, you know, his roots.
That
so Patton Oswalt is there every week checking it out.
Well, I watch
that?
Ratatouille every month.
Oh, that's nice, too.
Now, we heard that and it was, you know. Yeah, look, we're comics, so when you do stand-up comedy, you're in front of a live audience, you're getting that feedback, obviously. But you do the podcast, sometimes you're like, is anyone listening? And then something like that happens where we do a live comedy show, and there's someone that we've never met comes to the show that, yeah, I'm a Michael Mara fan, start listening. And so it is cool.
Rob and I were leaving the 98 Rock Studios one time, and this lady came up, and she goes, are you guys Rob and Joe? And I said, oh, you know, of course. If we're recognized by anybody, you know, mm-hmm. we start following them. We become fans.
Yeah, it's
of them.
Great. Right. I mean, it's fun, and that's why I tell people that all the time. It's still cool to have that happen. It, you know, when we do our live shows, like in Reno or at the State Theater, we did those back in the mid '90s, and I will tell you that it was a thrill. It was a thrill to have that many people get into what you do. But in that large a number, it can be a little tedious, but you welcome it. Now, outside of that, if I'm popping into a game somewhere and somebody bumps into me, especially down here, like at my kid's preschool yesterday, I'm picking my kid up from preschool, and the teacher says to me, you know, one of the parents in the other class, this is down here in nowhere, Florida, mm-hmm. is a huge fan. And I had to actually keep it down to a dull roar because I wanted to start the Inquisition. Where are they from? Yeah. What are they listening
name
to?
Names.
Do they listen to the current incarnation of the show? When are they going to be here next? And so, I mean, I think it's great when you get that kind of recognition. But when a guy like Patton, who we have tremendous amount of respect for, mentions you. And by the way, as you guys know probably more than I do, the comedy world of stand-up is pretty, it's a pretty small little group, you know, and a lot of people, there's a lot of cross-pollinization there, where I remember going to the Amy Schumer show, and you see Patton on one of the sketches that she's doing when mm-hmm. they do the TMZ sketch. Patton's the Harvey Levin guy, and, which is fracturingly funny. I either saw she clipped that at her live show, but
so
I
she
also
did like
watched
a video. Did she do a video presentation at her stand-up show?
Yeah, well, that's that we everybody kind of does that
right.
thing. And the thing about the Amy Schumer show is she did the video presentation and then brought on the opening act. Which I thought was just about the biggest error. The guy, I wish I remember the guy's name because he did a great job. It's
Mark
probably
Norman.
The most. Could it be Mark Norman? It might be Mark Norman. I'm not sure. But thankless is the word I would use to open for any headliner like that in a comedy show.
Sure.
And it was just odd that she plays her vignette and then brings the opening act.
She definitely
where...
wants you to remember who the star is.
Well, yeah, I thought that was kind of
yeah.
Have you said? I mean, I haven't seen that before.
If you're the next, if you're the opening act, I think you kind of embrace something like that. Because remember, when you're the opening act, you come up to nothing.
Yeah.
Yep. Absent. He was fantastic. And you know, as far as opening acts go, he had this like nonstop machine gun patter where it was like joke. I think that's really the only. Don't give the audience any time to think, when's the headliner? Yeah, but it's still something that I'll do podcasts all the time and I'll get on stage and do that and I'll do meet and greets. But the actual formal idea, I still have such an admiration for what you guys do when I watch. Controlling a room and doing, you know, improv I can do. I can tell a story on stage. Actually doing formal stand-up where, bam, here it is. Here's the set. Here's my point of view. Be funny. I don't know. Maybe it's an academic exercise in a way that I don't want.
Can I ask a question about the serious business of comedy? Because
sure.
I know you have your prepared chunks and the stuff that you guys do when you go out there. But when I saw Rob at the Tally Ho in Leesburg, I would say 2/5 of his show had to be off the cuff because he was doing so much crowd work. And you find, you know, a target in your audience and you can build on that. Does that more rewarding when you
is there
do
anybody
stuff
that like
Oscar, is there anybody that likes showbiz jargon more?
Oh,
than
absolutely. Or the tally ho.
I like crowd work. I've never heard that with crowd.
Nobody knows the tally ho.
Crowd work is that. That's kind of the. That's jargon.
That's
isn't
jargon.
That comedy
sure.
jargon.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
kind of cool.
But is crowd it more work. Rewarding when you do stuff on the fly that works as opposed to something that's prepared and you know is going to work?
Yes and no. I mean, I think the audience likes that moment is just for them,
mm-hmm.
so that they wouldn't see that at another show.
Right.
So they had a moment that was organic, that was real. I mean, ideally, I like to weave crowd work into my jokes.
Right.
But I did a show recently in Syracuse where, like, I'm struggling with my material. They're polite, but it's just it's not getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Then I make some joke about some guys being an idiot, and they're going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm like, oh, I got them. Then I go back to my jokes, and nothing. And I'm like, you know, you work years to hone this joke, nothing. I call this guy a jerk. Oh, my God, this guy's amazing. So it is this sort of weird thing. Like, you realize it was harder to come up with that clever premise and joke than it was just to make fun of this idiot.
Sure, sure.
But whatever.
The other thing is jokes, you know, people don't consciously think this, but they are lies, right? If you say, hey, the other day, I was in the supermarket with my girlfriend. Well, you weren't. It wasn't the other day. You weren't in the supermarket, and you weren't with your girl. They know that.
Right.
So the closer you can get to the truth, they kind of relax and say, okay, well, and I'm not. There's some honesty and something fresh about it. The other thing is that for a comic, it might be not Rob so much because he does a lot better job at writing new material than me. But I'm just so tired of it's like watching the same sitcom over and over again, even if other people are here seeing it for the first time. So crowd work to you is something that you've never heard before.
Right.
So you enjoy it because the audience is saying, all right, well, this guy.
Yeah, but not all comedians can do it, right?
I mean,
it's not a part of
No.
So if you're bored with the same old act and you don't write new material and you don't do crowd
you're
work.
You're screwed, right?
Then you're boned.
Yeah.
Then you are completely screwed across the board.
I kind of feel like you're a quarterback that can run really well. So
Rob, can you fix that microphone a little bit?
You bet.
For
his
microphone a little bit there.
If you're a quarterback that has the ability to run, maybe you don't read defenses as much because you can just take off running.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then you don't work on that. So I think with the crowd work, sometimes it can be a crutch.
I see.
Where I'm not writing new material because I know I can go up there and just wing half of it.
It's a crutch if you're not known for it. And, you know, like when you talk about somebody going back to the olden days of comedy like a Don Rickles,
yeah.
I mean, his crowd work was his act.
Right? That was the act,
but,
right.
But make no mistake, he had prepared, you know, stuff that he would do with all that. And, you know, a guy like Sam Kinison probably had prepared stuff as well. And if you have a bunch of those in your back pocket and it happens to come up and it's spontaneous in the act itself, even though you might have had it there in your back pocket, I think it's great. I love moments.
Don Rickles is an example of somebody, not only is he the best ever at it, but that's what people want.
Mm-hmm.
I recently worked with, do you guys know who John Witherspoon is? He was the dad in Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So he gets up there and he just starts saying lines from Friday. And people are flipping the tables over. They're going crazy. It's you've never heard anybody crush.
I love that, actually.
And that's because they earned it, right? They earned it because they were great one time, and they just get to kind of carry that with them. Well, whenever people see Rob and I, they don't know who the hell we are. We have nothing
right.
like that. So all
no
we could
phrases.
Do. No, well, even if we had them, they don't know them.
Also, when, as far as John Witherspoon's concerned, when he has a cooking show, which he has online, right?
Right.
He just does that same shtick on his cooking show. And I will sit there and watch with my mouth open and say, this is great. I'd like to learn how to cook with John Witherspoon.
Yeah. I mean, if you're predisposed, that's why going to a, you know, the more you're successful, the better it gets for you. Because if you're predisposed to know, to
success.
Wanting to laugh and knowing somebody's funny, you're going to be going in there. I still think it's great to watch, and it's very, very cool. Speaking of crowd work, do we need to work the phones right now?
We can work the phones, yes.
888-920-MORE, that's 888-920-6673. Hello, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show. Who's this?
Hey, Mike, this is Jim in Worcester.
Worcester!
Hey, Worcester.
New England, representing on the show today. Very good.
Absolutely. How's it going?
It's going okay. Great. What can we do?
Doing
good start.
Mike, I got a story for you. I think you'll like it.
I doubt it.
It involves, we have a couple of connections.
Ooh,
my father went to Holy Cross back in the 50s. I think you've mentioned that your father did too, right?
My father went to Holy Cross, God rest his soul, absolutely, in Worcester, Massachusetts. Yep, that's right.
They both went into insurance.
Yes, then my father went into the insurance business, right?
And my father was an independent agent. One of the companies he had was Aetna.
Okay.
Mike, so, is this your brother?
No, because let me tell you, one of my father's jobs, as a matter of fact, the best part of my dad's job, I remember this from when I was a kid, my dad, because he was in marketing services, which meant he took care of the independent agents, and he hosted every year they would fly their most successful agents that sold all the policies to these great destinations Miami or New Orleans. And my dad was in charge of hosting the Aetna party out there. So I'm tracking with this guy's father being an independent agent. Go ahead, sir.
All right. So back in the 80s, one of Aetna's what they called special agents, which was the guy who was the liaison between the company and the agency, he comes to visit my father. They used to visit every month or two. And he's white as a sheet. So my father says, sit down. What's going on? The guy says, I got to tell you, last night I was working at the Aetna office. I worked very late till like 10 at night. I'm leaving. There's nobody else around. I go out to my car. I open the trunk. I go to put my briefcase. I lean into the trunk to put my briefcase in. And somebody comes up behind me and sticks a knife in my ribs and says, give me all your money. My father says, oh, God, what happened? He says, well, I'm already leaning in the trunk, so I grabbed a tire iron, and I swung it behind me as hard as I could, and I heard the guy yell, and he ran off. So my father says, well, you're really lucky. He says, well, I got home. I went to bed. I get up this morning. I turn on the news, and there's, you know, Al Terzi telling me, oh, police in Hartford this morning investigating the death of a 16-year-old found with blunt force head trauma. And it's like a block away from where this guy was attacked.
So far, I'm listening. This is good. You got this room. This is a tough room to hold, but you got me with this story so far.
He says, what do I do? He says, do I turn myself into the police? My father says, did they find the knife? He says, no, they didn't mention any knife. So my father says, well, it's your word against a dead kid. You've got three children and a wife, your entire career is going to be ruined if you do this because you can't prove it was self-defense at this point. He says, you may just have to live with this. So I guess the guy took my father's advice. He never told the police anything. Now, this was 35 years ago. My father's dead. This guy's dead. I don't even know this guy's name. And so somewhere in Hartford, there's an unsolved murder of a teenage kid. I'm the only one my father ever told about this, so I'm the only one with any information on it.
Have you been compelled ever? I mean, you're sharing it with us. What could you tell him? Maybe
I don't remember the special agent's name. My father's long since passed on. So I said, I'm sitting on this information for all these years. It's not enough to solve the case. Somewhere there's a mother wondering what happened to her teenage kid who was found dead from a beating, you know, a blunt force trauma to the head. I'm the only one with any information, but it's not enough to ever solve the case.
And obviously this is something you called us and you were chomping to tell us about this.
Because at the heart of it, it's a good story. And also between the connections.
It is hilarious.
I appreciate it.
It is hilarious.
I've heard funnier.
Big time
funny.
You know
what? It's
some great crowd work.
Speaking of Don Rickles, continue, sir.
I'll tell you something. No, it's not funny, but it is riveting.
Well, at the front of it, I was hoping for a punchline. He got to the swing of the tire iron, I realized it was
many,
serious.
How many? All right.
Hold on
a second, sir. I want to interrupt you for a second. We have a bunch of comedy people in this room. How many thought in the first 30 seconds of that story that this was going to be a joke?
I thought it was the Grease
Man. I could have sworn it was going to be a joke. I could have sworn it was going to be a joke, but it was a joke. Do you experience, it sounds to me, are you living with a little guilt with this?
I don't know because, I mean, it's third hand, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not guilt, but like I've got the only information about this. But it's worthless information. All I know is how this kid died, but I don't know who the kid was. I don't even know the exact time frame because it's so long ago that I've kind of forgotten. All I can tell you is mid-80s, mid to early 80s.
I recommend drinking heavily.
Did you mean to call Serial and not the Michael Myers?
I was going to ask him, Oscar, because with Making a Murderer on Netflix and Serial and all, did that motivate you kind of to call us and share that because of all that kind of stuff you're seeing online now?
No, I just knew I wanted to call in, and I figured I had to come up with a good story. And that's like one of the.
I'm giving you a round of applause for that.
Only dead kid story you have?
Can you call back next week with another one?
I can call back next week with a story of a lot of people being hurt, but nobody got killed in the other incident.
Well, punch it up.
Well, thank you very much. My New England friend, God bless you. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
And,
thank
so
you,
much
Samuel
for,
Clemens.
Listening to the show. We will. Hey. I'll tell you, it might not have been yucks, but I was interested in that. That's okay.
I was all in. Yeah,
again,
yeah.
The number's 920-TMOS.
That's not the theme of the calls, by the way. If you're thinking about calling
in. Or M-O-R-E, not cereal, please.
Yes, so we're discussing unsolved murders today. We'll take more of your calls at 888-920-6673. When we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show, we'll talk about the murder of a baby bison.
Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Stein.
And on this week's episode,
motherhood and apple pie.
Motherhood and apple pie.
Yeah, well, why are they connected?
Back in the day, mothers would bake pies for their families and set them out on the windowsill to cool off. People would see them doing that and they would connect the two. Oh, there's a mother and her apple
Not
pie.
Even you had any conviction of the answer. None.
Yeah, your eyes were wandering all around.
Soldiers stationed overseas were quoted saying, "Mom and apple pie," when asked what they missed most about being away from home, conjuring up any kind of a cozy memory. So the smell of apple pie, and I suppose if your mother smelled good, the smell of your mother as well.
Now, see, I had learned that originally what the soldier said was, "Man, I really miss mom, apple pie, and p-."
The Tony Perkins Show.
Wow. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, are you busy? Sure you are. You're busy as hell. You don't have time to go shopping at all those boutiques and specialty shops on Main Street, USA. When did you write? How drunk were you when you wrote this?
Oh, there were so many empty bottles clinking around, Mike.
What you need is Amazon.com. Use your computer and buy everything you need at one place. It's the greatest website there is from the comfort of your own home or so. Just remember to shop Amazon through our portal. You see, anytime you purchase something through our Amazon link, we get a tiny percentage. It doesn't cost you any extra, and it's the best and easiest way for you to support the show. Save time, save money, and make us smile. Just bookmark our Amazon link and use it like crazy. Remember, if you need it or want it, Amazon has it. Just go to MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon button on our website or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart, then shop like you normally would. It's that simple, and now relax, because you've saved yourself a lot of time. Thank you. Welcome back to the show. Do you want to talk to... I want to talk about the baby bison because
sure.
I've been trying to get to that for a few days now. But there was an article in the New York Post that has something that I've been talking about for a good long time. And the title of the article, I'm not a big New York Post guy because I'm a little bit of a lefty. Mm-hmm. And so they're, you know, they're the two papers of record in New York City. Well, there are three. We've got the New York Times, left. We've got the Daily News, left. And we've got the New York Post, right. That's the way it is. But I love all of them. And one of my favorite parts about living and working in New York City was the tabloid papers of the Daily News and the New York Post. This is an article written by a young lady by the name of Maureen Callahan, a good Irish girl. And the title, this jumped out at me, "Everything Today is a Lie." And she goes on to talk about everything from the most pointed story was the recent story about Ozzy Osbourne cheating on Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Donald Trump is trolling us and Sharon Osbourne is trolling us and everybody is really trolling us, that that we're being lied to routinely and we're accepting it. And it's amazing that when you go through some of the things, even Game of Thrones, where Jon Snow came alive after insisting in interviews he was doing everywhere that Jon Snow was dead and he wasn't coming back to life. And then, of course, he came back to life. And then you've got Donald Trump, who really some have said, this was trolling that resulted in a Republican nomination for president. And then you got the Ozzy thing. And she goes on and on and on. And it's truly amazing to think about Jay-Z and Beyonce, for example,
right,
with Lemonade, which is a song about Jay-Z cheating, when in fact this was publicized by Jay-Z's corporation, that this streaming service that offers up Lemonade comes out of Jay-Z's. All of it is just leading to the same conclusion that it's all a bunch of BS, and we are lapping it up.
We're the rubes.
We're rubes.
We're all the rubes.
She's right.
Let me just read you the part about Sharon and Ozzy, because that's okay. The most recent. On Tuesday, Sharon, who brilliantly turned her family into reality TV superstars well before Kris Jenner and her Kardashian clan, she dramatically returned to her CBS daytime show, The Talk. There, she shared her rapid emotional arc from humiliation to fear to courage to independence with her 2.9 million viewers. It's something the pop singer-songwriter Sia has called the three-minute victim-to-victor journey, and it kills across multiple platforms. She said, I just can't keep living like this, she told her co-host. As she sat emotionless, she sipped from a tall glass of lemonade, trolling us all.
Of course.
Isn't this great? By Thursday, Sharon was photographed cuddling with Ozzy at a promotional event for his upcoming farewell tour, which, as his longtime manager, she oversees.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating when
she was too distraught to come in.
Right.
And then by Thursday, they're cuddling and preparing for a tour. That's a pretty fast turnaround.
Yeah. Sharon is the queen of publicity stunts, a source told Page Six. There's always deliberate drama going on. It maintains interest in them as a family. She got him almost as much press as when he bit that bat's head off. Here I am, cruising along going, hey, I remember we lap it up.
Sure.
We share it with everybody right here. And, if there's anything along the lines of a marital breakup on that high level, we lap it up with a spoon. And I thought it was fascinating that they talked about that.
Jimmy Kimmel is great at this. He will find a montage of medium market radio or TV stations, and every anchor reads the exact same bad pun in the headline. And it's because a press release has been sent out that is moderately cleverly written, and they just cut and paste it. And you realize that the people that are disseminating the information, if you serve up something to them, they're going to serve it right out to America the way with the message attached, because they're making it easy for them to do it.
She talks about Trump. She goes on to talk about trolls conflate. What is Donald Trump if not a version of Kanye? He's a reality TV star who trolled every other serious Republican contender off the stage, then had his aides tell RNC leaders in a closed-door meeting last April that he'd been playing a character and that his character would be maturing. He gets it. Now, this guy, Paul Manafort, who manages Trump's campaign right now, I've seen this guy. He's the guy I was making fun of. It's like, I'm Paul Manafort.
The mobster?
I don't remember the name, Donald but I remember the impression.
Here's his quote. The Manafort says he gets it. The part that he's playing now is evolving into the part that you've been expecting. So I think you're going, they're talking. Everybody just laps it up.
It's a story arc.
I think it's fascinating. And, I don't know. I think you, why are we all so fascinated by it? It's the drama. It's the, they're saying that when he posted the picture of the taco bowl and said, I love Hispanics, he knew he was going to get
totally
that.
Did. Yeah.
He knew that was coming, people.
I rolled right into that one. I said, well, this is inappropriate.
Did you not feel loved, though?
No, but Mike is right. Why do I care?
Yeah.
Why do I care?
Because I believe that as it's as old as time, that when it's not me, when it's you, when it's someone else that I'm not connected to that's going through, that can be a celebrity death. That, like Prince, that can be somebody who comes out and goes, who turns into the villain who we all want to watch. We want to watch the villain all the time. We don't want to watch the good, boring person. That's not going to happen. There's no drama in that, and I think it's gotten bigger and bigger, and then throw in social media and the internet age, and I think it explodes.
Do you think that social media makes it so that we are, even if not in real life, we feel more connected to these celebrities, right?
Well, I will read from the article again. She says that so much of pop culture now plays out like one big reality show, and now that we know that it's all scripted, reality TV itself feels like an epic troll. Oscar hipped me to this, I don't know how many years ago, when...
It's scripted reality.
Yeah.
You were doing a pilot,
yes.
And you were kind of saying, you had talked to some people that had experience in this world, and you said that... yes, there are situations, but it's don't think they don't out. Get in a room and plan out the narrative.
They
and how
plan out
do it.
Or they manufacture on the run.
You mean lizard lick towing is not real? That's not real. Damn.
That is a great series.
Well, with the Jay-Z and Beyonce thing, I mean, that's a classic example. She's talking about him cheating on her. Now he's going to have an album come out where he responds. So they're just going to air some fight that they may or may not have actually had. And because they're probably the most famous celebrity couple in the world, maybe, that his album's going to skyrocket because of that. And it's all on their title.
Their platform.
I don't understand why you want to look that. Do you want to look like, I guess nobody cares anymore.
Well,
I
mean, if they don't care and all they're doing is cashing checks. And I think it's key. And when we were here talking about Sharon and Ozzy's thing,
right?
At the end of that story, Mike, you mentioned a Travel Channel show as well, which I thought was strange.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He's got a new show coming out with Jack.
If he didn't have that show, would they be the new tour that's the finale tour? Would there be an issue?
No, probably not. Right? Probably not.
You know, we're gonna put a new feature in News You May Not Need today that is called "Don't Be Fooled," and I will include a story that came across my desk during show prep that I believe has been totally, solely manufactured to generate interest. And it comes from one of the great families of trolling, the Kardashian clan. And, you know, you see more of this. Rob, you and I source this stuff. You guys know what I'm talking about. You see a lot of things that a survey said. There's a lot of stuff online that is not attributed to anyone. And it'll say source. It'll say a survey. And
someone close to the Kardashians.
There is a machine. There is a hungry machine out there that needs to be fed each and every day to generate all this crap. And we have to feed this public appetite for it. And, you know, some people benefit. Some people get it. I don't know whether you attribute the genius of Trump or the Kardashians or Sharon Osbourne. But it sure would be making a lot of sense when you look at their checking accounts that they've made an awful lot of money on all of this crap.
If you go far enough back, you know, you and I have always distrusted Hollywood. Big movie, Mike, because they would say they would do a press release that like
Scarface is the first one. Way back when Scarface was the first one, when they said this is going to get an X rating.
Yep.
Big this is movie. So hyper violent that it's going to get an X rating.
Do you remember when The Fly came out? The Fly too. They said, The Fly will never see motion picture screens because Jeff Goldblum is too disgusting. You do not want to see this movie.
Yeah, and it's so violent you won't be able
to
watch
it. Right, you won't
be able to too disgusting when he was The Fly or just in just him himself?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of The Big Chill.
let me just say, Joe, fabulous point. Joe from the Robin Joe Show, right over here. Really, you hit it out of the park there.
30-second story, if I may. About
please,
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. Oh, I love Jeff Goldblum.
I was engaged to a girl. Her name was Heather Chadwick. I was engaged in college. Mm-hmm. I ended up breaking off that engagement, and her next boyfriend, Jeff Goldblum.
Oh. Hey, look at you.
Yes.
Yep.
Probably my biggest accomplishment.
I know you will take no offense when quite a move vertically on her part.
I was not in Independence Day.
That was true.
So you didn't get Gina Davis and like a future pick?
But what year Jeff Goldblum? Like what?
Oh, no. I mean, this was 1991.
Oh, so he was hot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pre-Independence Day, post The Fly. I mean, it was.
Man.
And Joe was not hot in any 1990 anything or 2000 anything.
I was working at a
ever.
Shoe store at the time.
Was it Kenny's?
Well, I was the manager, though, so there's always that. The Tomacan,
well,
no longer.
Since we're telling stories in this land of trolling, they don't have to be based in reality. After my first marriage, the lady that I was married to for about 6 years, she ended up sleeping with Flounder from Animal House.
Man.
That's not true. VCU graduate.
Hey, and, you know, that leads me to the, you know, tied up in a nice little bow here. Was the baby bison really euthanized, or is it maybe still living somewhere and they just wanted to get attention for the Yellowstone National Park Service? Yeah.
Big Park, Mike. Yeah, Big Park is
wanted to do that. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Vistaprint. They're the best, no matter what you need for the home or office. Postcards, flyers, banners, apparel, invitations, you name it, Vistaprint does it right. Rob Spiewak holding some business cards in his hand. You've been very good, Mike O'Mara Show listeners, about sending in your business cards to us. And by the way, it is Wide Open Wednesday as well. I just wanted to mention that. But
the business cards, Mike, have been pouring into our P.O. box. Ann Goodrich, who is a college admissions consultant, she'll get you into school. She had this great two-sided card made, which is beautiful. It says College Made Clear. Dan Johnson, who runs Ace Hardware in... let me see where it is. Scarborough, Maine, had cards made for his entire staff. Another beautiful two-sided card. And also, everyone's favorite Brooklyn, New York punk rock metal band Life Coach not only had their cards made, they also had banners made for their concerts.
Hipsters.
So they're awesome. And they do everything at Vistaprint. They do it all.
They do the right Die now. Laughing production cards as well.
Awesome.
Yes. That's cool. Wonderful. You get 500 business cards for just $9.99 when you enter the code TMOS at checkout. 500 cards for under 10 bucks. Just remember to use the code TMOS at Vistaprint.com, and you will get 500 business cards for $9.99. That is a 50% savings. Remember, TMOS. Go to Vistaprint.com and order yours today. Finally got around to starting that movie, The Witch. Speaking of hyping movies.
Yeah.
And Oh, my God. Have any of you guys seen it?
I saw it.
I haven't seen it in the theater.
I haven't seen
it. Oh, yeah.
Did you see it in the theater?
I did.
Wow.
Don't spoil it for me because I you read the book?
There's a witch in it. Sorry.
Yeah. that was The Witches of Eastwick. I haven't.
Don't spoil it for me because I'm halfway through. I wanted to log some time with it.
Fall asleep like a suspenseful movie like that?
You know, I can fall asleep with with the alcohol
drinking.
No, it's a toddler that gets up at 4:45 in the morning that really prevents me from.
I hate
doing
stopping
it.
Anything in the middle of say it's Game of Thrones a movie. It haunts me. I have to stay up and finish it.
I stayed up the other night and finished Khaleesi, and that was nippleastic, and it was great I was really glad that happened. It was a lot of fun, and it just I really think that when something is hyped, and I think it's a little bit legit with the witch people telling me one of the scarier movies, that first segment of the movie was completely bone-chilling to me.
I spoke to the new intern, Matt Dodson, about it, and he said after he watched it, he went home and sat and thought about it for 4 hours. He said it was really physically upsetting to him. It was that scary.
Have you seen it, Rob?
I've not seen it, but with the fact that he likes it and you like it, that says to me that it's probably a pretty scary film.
It's a lot of the ye old speak. The guy, the father in the movie, has one of the great party voices of all time. When you watch The Witch, just take this from me. Mm-hmm. Watch this and listen to that guy. And tell me how many cartons of no filter cigarettes and brown liquor he has to drink to actually get that kind of voice. What do you give it? I mean, does it continue? Does it get scarier than the beginning? I'm right at the halfway mark. A lot of dialogue, and the kid's gone missing.
I'm usually scared by a movie that I can be transported into, and I feel like I can't be transported into that. The thing
it
that
can't
impressed
be because of the ye olden
yeah,
times.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But I did love it. Is unbelievably acted for this type of movie. Normally,
yes,
when you talk about this kind of movie,
yep,
you
absolutely
don't see this Daniel Day-Lewis style acting. But they found these people, and again, when you get actors who are capable of doing what these guys can do. You also then have to sell them on the idea that this movie is going to be something different than what the genre usually produces, and they did
right.
it. I mean,
yeah,
I'm wondering what will happen come Oscar time. It came out pretty early in the year,
so.
The acting is
phenomenal.
It was described to me as there's not a lot of, like, jump scares, but it's more of a psychological thriller.
Oh, it's fantastic, Rob. I can't wait to wrap it up. Speaking of acting, Rob, how's your relationship going?
Oh, me?
Yeah. Hello. I was talking to you. I thought you might be sleeping there, so yeah. I was just kind of curious.
I'm acting like it's going amazing.
He's a Daniel Day-Lewis of a failed relationship.
Yes. Where are you? We always like to get an update on your relationship. You know, we have an intern, Rofo, who's, I think, kind of following in your footsteps a little bit. So I'm curious about how it's going with your...
I'm a trailblazer.
He's not following in your footsteps. Rofo is actually doing the... You seem like you're in a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Well, Rolfo, see, I don't. I need an update. I don't know what Rolfo, the update is.
That relationship will never be healthy, and I haven't. He can tell you anything he wants. Rofo's at least
right.
Rofo has found himself in a relationship with a 22-year-old.
Hello.
And it's not her fault. It's just they're all crazy at that age, right?
Mm.
And
that's hit the alarm, Rob.
And that's what Rofo
Rob, wake
is
up,
into.
Hit the alarm.
That's
thank
what
you.
Rofo is into.
It's you, probably a little
they're
bit
all
of her
crazy
fault.
At that age.
You have
they're
found a woman crazy. That is supporting you. Yes. Taking care of you.
Supporting
well,
or supportive?
Taking care of me.
I mean, well, she technically is. Is she?
No, yeah, but you not, know, that's sometimes that she's going to wake up. She's going to wake up one morning and kill the baby bison.
I think Oscar thinks that, like, I don't pay any rent or any bills or anything.
But didn't
well,
you tell us last
come
time
on,
that
speak
you,
up for yourself.
Yeah, I am speaking
she bought
up
the house.
Well, yeah, but I pay half the mortgage.
Oh, I didn't know oh, okay. that. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Well, excuse
he's
me.
He's buying yeah. her house for her is the point. The other thing is that I just went over there, and she keeps buying exercise equipment and putting
no,
it in this room
no,
and goes,
no,
you
no,
should
no,
use
no,
this.
Stop with the she. I keep buying exercise
right?
equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I bought those exercise
at her
equipment.
Suggestion.
You
can might
want
to buy this stair climber.
Can you go and pick yeah. that up
no,
for me?
You don't think you think I don't want an elliptical? Yes.
Do you have an elliptical?
Well, I do have an elliptical, yes.
Do you have a treadmill?
No, but I have the maxi trainer, the little climbing thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Do you have the machine with the belt that just agitates your stomach?
I do.
That's, that's a great one.
And we have seven thigh masters.
So you're the one that's the buying you're buying the equipment?
Well, we she buys things and I buy things. So I mean, the pressure of me buying a ring is a little bit off now because she sees me tangibly buying actual things. Like
how long
you don't
have
a ring, but you do have a couch.
Is she trying to bring your ring size down? I mean, what is she doing with
let
all
me
the
ask the question again that before Rob asks his question. How long have you been in the relationship?
Oh, is it 7 years now, Joe? I can't even
me. All right. Yeah. Seven or eight.
Yeah.
So that's pretty damn good, I would say, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
is it
evolving?
Well,
around year nine, he's going to reevaluate.
Yeah. I don't think it's devolving.
Right?
Yeah.
High praise.
Yeah. Look, we've taken steps.
The foundation of any relationship.
Yeah. I moved in with her. Then we got our own place. So, it is.
Have you
we're taking
tried
steps.
To hang clothes on this exercise equipment? Because eventually, that's what you'll be doing with
that's
it to see how much
hangers.
It can hold.
Yeah. No, I don't. You keep making fun of the exercise equipment. You make fun of me for being out of shape, and then I get exercise
that's
equipment.
Right.
You make fun of me for
correct.
That.
Are you
well,
using?
Well, he's asking you. Do you use it on
yes.
a regular basis?
I do use it on a regular basis.
Did you use it this morning?
I did not use it this morning.
More of an evening guy.
I an afternoon guy.
I see.
Yeah. Because I don't have to go to work.
I see you thinned out some. What's,
yeah, I know.
How many lbs?
A little bit.
Have you lost?
Oh, I probably not a lot. Probably 6 or 7.
That's a lot.
But I got my pull-up bar.
Ah,
I do
nice.
That.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting bulked up too. It's not just cardio, huh?
Well, no, I want to get in better shape. Obviously, look when I look better, I feel better. When I'm on stage, I feel like I perform better.
Yeah.
Because I have more confidence.
Are you working pull-ups into the act?
I am working pull-ups into the act. Yeah, I bring a pull-up bar with me.
I don't want to put you in an awkward position here.
It's too late.
God forbid.
But when you say you're working to get fit, Oscar says Oscar likes to quote a horrible saying about a man is something in his options, and it's don't I don't want to hear it.
Oh,
no, just
no.
I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't like there.
Chris
so,
Rock.
When you're on stage and you're getting yourself in better shape, is there a part of you saying, you know, I'd like to be a more sexually presentable
ooh.
Person to the women of my stand-up comedy wow. audience. I had to ask. I just had to ask with all this. If you're buying exercise equipment, you know, if she's not telling you to buy that exercise equipment, there's got to be some other motivating factor. And I just don't. Well, you don't strike me as a real self-motivator, so I'm just kind of curious about that.
And if you can, use the phrase, as Mike did, sexually presentable, because I'm in love with it.
Well, first of all, yes, I'm trying to be sexually presentable to every woman I meet.
Okay.
But that's just
that's
a standard
honest.
Rule of my life.
Sure.
All right. Very good.
No, I do feel like my act, I talk about sex a lot and women, and I feel like if I look like someone that could get chicks, that makes those jokes
who's
go
the
over
dream?
Better.
Let me tell you about my feelings about comedy, okay? One of the things, and I go back way, way back to the late, great Sam Kinison. One of the things that endeared Sam Kinison to all of us guys way back when was the fact that Sam was a schlub. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Patton Oswalt, he admits he's a schlubby guy. He's gnome-like, you know? There's nothing. You know when Joe Piscopo, who was never funny to begin with, but when he really went south, when he really wrecked it, is when he became a friggin' bodybuilder.
Yep.
And, you know, and so when I see the guy, when you see the guy that looks like he's more concerned about being in the gym than he is about being funny, you know,
like Rob's going to have that problem.
Yeah, I am a long way away from that.
But I would let yourself really go. Then I think you're an interesting looking guy. I'm just saying. If
what do you,
you
mean
really,
by that?
He
means ugly.
Rob, help me out here.
I think that you have a distinctive look. You've come in today with a new look, which is the stubbly beard, which I think looks very good on you.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's a nice thing. But, you know, like, for example, you're not the kind of guy that rocks a very hip, cool sort of sport jacket look on stage. You have a casual presentation.
Yes.
Well, you know what he is, Mike? He's a man of the people.
Let me interrupt
you.
I was watching the golf tournament over the weekend. I was watching the Players.
Nice things.
The Players Championship. Yeah. And there was a guy, I think he might have been in his 20s. He was not an old guy. And he was dangerously fat. And he was new, and I'd never seen. And I was delighted. I was so thrilled. I saw this guy, and he had the kind of gut where, I mean, it was gravity affecting him. You could tell it was hanging.
Like, doesn't like to walk the course, this guy.
You know, he was moving along pretty good. He's playing great golf.
Sure.
He was in the hunt, but the fact is, he was sloppy fat, and it was a beautiful thing to see. And then it seemed like just that day, John Daly makes his return to golf by getting on the senior tour, and I look at John Daly, and he looks like he's going to deliver a manatee himself any day now. And it was beautiful to see. And so when I see a comedian that might be a little schlubby, now, not the guys that are going to be so fat that they have to use it as their material.
Like Ralphie
but,
May.
But yeah. Fat
Max
enough.
Max Alexander. Like,
John Panette.
Right.
It's always John Panette. It always gets back to John Panette. It's nice to see schlubby, you know? I think when where are you going with this?
Yeah, do you not want him to get too... put together?
Oh, I'd say it's dangerous to me when a comedian, you know, is thinking about, you know, hey, look at my muscles.
Yeah, like Carrot, you know, Mike, you know, Carrot Top did it.
Yeah, yep, that's right. And well, and Carrot, he had already established his career, but I'd like you to work the comedy muscles.
Look, I'm not anywhere close to getting ripped like Carrot Top. That's not even my goal. I just want on a pass fail with my shirt off. I want to pass.
Okay.
I don't want an A.
How old are you now? How old are you now?
42.
That don't worry.
You don't look 42.
That's everybody in this room is worried about you getting too good looking. That's the takeaway.
By the way, if you go out on a date and someone sets you up and they ask you, what does he look like? And the guy says, he looks interesting. That girl's never going to go on that.
But the traction in your career has really gotten to high gear.
Yeah, where things are picking up, yes.
But the workout and maybe the way you present yourself, that's something that now you're aware of?
Absolutely.
Okay. Or do you credit the renewed interest in your strength and presence with the acceleration of your career?
It's all about the elliptical.
But you're happy and life is good?
I'm happy, life is good, and I just want to be like Jeff Goldblum and steal Joe's girl.
There you go. And Joe, you still tying women up, or what's going on with you?
I'm trying, and not as frequently. I have the same girlfriend for 2 years, and, you know, the tying up, it really decreases.
She's insisting that he gets a physical, or she's going
to
leave
him. That's true. She says, I have till the end of this month to get a physical, or she's going to break up with me. That was the ultimatum.
Is she concerned about anything serious?
Well, I mean, I was sick twice this year. And because of that...
What kind of sick?
Just a regular sick. I mean, you know, I didn't have
flu?
AIDS or anything. Yeah, just
the
flu.
I didn't think you had the AIDS.
Do you smoke?
I don't... Well, not cigarettes.
You smoke weed? All right,
yeah, I don't drink, though.
You don't drink?
No.
So, I mean, is she worried about your health or what?
Yeah, she's worried because I also do a lot of hacking. Like, in the morning, I sound like Chewbacca getting stabbed to death in the shower, right? So that's...
That's
a concern.
Right.
And I haven't been to the doctor in, I don't know, a decade, I guess. So.
You don't sleep. That's your problem.
I don't sleep either.
At all?
No, I mean, I sleep, but I wake up like knives. I have one of those machines that you wear.
Oh, the CPAP. The CPAP. Machine. Yeah,
right. I have a CPAP. Rob's got one. Yeah, we got sure. If we all slept over at each other's houses, you did sound like a tuberculosis ward.
That's a squadron.
Yeah, there'd be a brownout. The electric company would say, "What's going on?"
I can't lose this girl because I can't. I've gained a lot of weight. In addition to that, I wear the CPAP. You know right. what I mean? I can't have a girl over CPAP. And you put
See,
that on.
I got
on.
The CPAP like in between relationships. That was difficult.
So yeah, what did you
I'd
do?
Have to hide it, I'd hide it under the bed, like in the middle of the night. If I got lucky enough to have a young lady's company, I'd wake up in the middle of the night going.
Well, if you're like me, there is a if you take all 360 degrees, mm-hmm. there's a 15 degree window where I can sleep without killing myself.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
So. Heaven forbid she leaves me because I don't get this physical in time or she dies or whatever.
What?
I'm going to have to sleep. If I get lucky enough to lure some woman into my room, I can't put that machine on. I have to sleep in that little protractor of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. You have to be very, you got to stay up all night.
Yeah.
That's the way
So I can't works. Really, like, can't lose her. So I have to get the physical.
Well, thanks for the update. And if it is really serious, can you come on next time? It'll be the Joe's Very Brave show. I'm looking forward to that. I want to squeeze all the juice out of that, baby. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. And by the way, Wide Open Wednesday. I'm going to cancel it.
What?
Because people listen to the podcast on their own time, and we got to train
them. We're training them. Mike,
they're
training
on
takes
right
time.
Now. Yeah.
I don't, you know me. I'm not a patient man, but we'll try. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
In 3 days. Well, depending on when Rob plays us. In 2 days.
Are you sure?
Anytime now. Father. Husband. Radio God, golfer, and trained monkey, Mike O'Mara, Monday. Downloaded from the TMOS app, live on O'MaraCast.
Well, it's actually recorded.
Asshat.
You excited?
Now, I think Marcus has been drinking, too. welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Touch of Modern. How would you like to be the envy of your group? You know you would love it. I have a website for you. Especially if you're in the gift-giving season as we get into
yes.
what I like to call the birthday season, the graduation season. A lot of people giving gifts this time of year.
Dads and grads, Mike.
Dads and grads. Touch of... Thanks for making it original, Rob. Touchofmodern.com. Go there right now. Touch of Modern is always changing. They've got wonderful items. I love the watches. You can surf for hours just checking out their watches at Touch of Modern. They have loads of new sales. They literally launch them every single day. Touch of Modern is the one website that will improve your lifestyle with a single click. With great stuff and great stuff at good prices, too. Right now, our listeners can get immediate access to these deals when they sign up at touchofmodern.com. Father's Day will be here soon, so get Dad something to brag about besides you. Do it today because tomorrow it will be different. That's how life rolls in the fast lane at touchofmodern.com. And I am working on Mrs. O'Mara for the particular watch that I would like. For,
ooh.
Yes, and of course the comment is made to me on a regular basis. You already have a watch. Well, I know I do, but
you're a watch
like watches.
Guy.
Yeah. I'm a watch guy, that's, so give me a watch, Carla. Come on.
News.
I know that telling you to put down your phone is like telling you to chop off your left arm, but you really should do it once in a while. A new study found that the key to a successful relationship is putting down your phone and doing two things instead: spending quality time face to face and being affectionate. The researchers say no amount of texting can compensate for a lack of either of those factors. So
they really need a study for that. I mean, don't talk to the person that you're in a relationship with.
Well, you know, 53% of people admit that they spend more time on their phone than with their significant other, and 2/3 of us get distracted by our phones in the middle of conversations. I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah.
It is horrible, and I wish there was a way of changing it, but I don't see it changing anytime soon. It's terrible. Oscar said we have a call. Should we go to the phones right now,
let's
Oscar?
Let's go.
All right, let's take a call in the middle of news you may not need, and then we will get to the new feature on NYMNN, ladies and gentlemen. let's take a call. Hello, Mike O'Mara Show. You're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Mark Kaplan from the Training Ship Golden Bear.
Hey, how are you, Mark? Good to hear from you.
Mark.
How are you?
I'm good. The ship is coming to Baltimore this weekend, so I got off.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you got off. I'm not sure what that means. Did you do something sexual?
I left the ship, so I didn't have to go to Baltimore.
Smart man. He values his life.
There you go. Attaboy.
Mike, hey. I apologize because I think I was like the shame nun and from Game of Thrones because you're no longer wearing our hat.
I know. I haven't worn the hat in a long time.
Yeah, Mike.
I still have the hat, though. I have the hat.
It's a great hat. The reason I called is you're about to talk about Yellowstone National Park, and before I joined the ship, I worked in Yellowstone National Park.
Ooh.
Do they like killing the buffalo in the
Yellowstone? No. Well, actually, about 2,000 of them have to be killed a year because the herd is too big, and they wander off of the park, and they are carrying brucellosis, and the ranchers don't like that.
So these people that put
it
in their
disease.
Car were actually helping the cause, is what you're saying.
No. I could tell you thousands of stories about how stupid tourists are. We used to call them tourons.
Just pick your best 10.
Tourons.
No, we got to move along. Excuse me. Thank you. Sometime make it to Baltimore. It's a fun city. It truly is.
The ship will be there Sunday if you guys want to go down and wave at us.
Oh, that's wonderful. And thank you. And I do, by the way, I do have your hat, and I still wear the hat. You'll see it on the show soon, I promise you.
All right, you guys have a great day.
Thank you,
God
sir.
God bless.
Thank
you,
Captain. Actually, if he has any stories about a bison getting hit with a tire iron that hasn't been solved, call back.
Interesting calls today. We now present a new feature on News You May Not Need called Don't Be Fooled by Fake News. In this segment, we will spotlight a story with no real merit that we believe is designed solely for furthering the career of the said subject. Here we go. A lot of people think that Kim Kardashian has had an adverse effect on morality, but is that her prime directive? Iran thinks so. Iran's Revolutionary Guard exists to protect the country and its culture from outside influence, and they say they're under direct, deliberate attack from Kim. But she's not working alone. She takes her orders from Instagram. Yes, Instagram has an evil plan to corrupt Iran's women and children, so they enlisted Kim to undermine their Islamic lifestyle with her immoral selfies. Without a hint of irony or sarcasm, one official said, quote, one official, we are taking this very seriously. People magazine asked Kim about it in Cannes, France, and she said, quote, I just landed and came here from the airport. I have not heard that one. Thanks for the heads up. Interesting they got the quote from Kim from People. While all of this seems like a joke, the Revolutionary Guard has already arrested dozens of people for what they consider immoral and un-Islamic activity on social media. But really, all this story is a wonderful way to keep Kim relevant, and it sounds like it was planted by her mom.
So I love it. I love that it's vague. Dozens of people, Mike. Dozens. There's really not any more non-committal number. Dozens.
Yeah, and if you want to, if nobody's going to track down your source, get somebody from the Revolutionary Guard. did you really say that, sir? Anyway, Tom Hanks is having, he has type 2 diabetes, and a lot of people think it made him more the regular guy. I'm not sure I believe that. Like everyone else, he's now cursing himself for letting it happen. In a new interview, he said, quote, I'm part of the lazy American generation that has blindly kept dancing through the party and now finds ourselves with a malady. I was heavy. I was a total idiot. I don't think of him. I mean, hasn't he lost amazing amounts of weight for different roles?
Yeah, he was very skinny in the, what was the movie where he was on the island?
Yeah, Castaway. Philadelphia.
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah, that one too.
Also sort of thin in that, as I recall.
He said, I thought I could avoid it by removing the buns from my cheeseburgers. Well, it takes a little more than that, but it's not all bad news. His doctor gave him a target weight to hit, and if he does, he won't have diabetes anymore.
Ooh, well, that's good. Manageable.
Where are you on that, Rob, as far as
I'm diabetes-free, believe it or not. And
your dad has it, so
because I got it on both sides
right?
of the family, so I'm tested on a yearly basis. But that's one thing I don't got.
Let's go biannually.
Okay, shut up, Oscar. Hey, where are you on the asshole scale?
Okay. He gets tested daily.
On this show.
We have Redskins news. Tight end Vernon Davis may have started 2016 with a Super Bowl victory with the Broncos, but the rest of his year just went down the toilet. His fiancée, Janelle Horn, just called him out for cheating. She posted a picture of Vernon and his alleged mistress and said, quote, when you give a man your all, 15 years, three kids. And you know, I didn't even think about all you guys being in the studio together when I wrote this news, but it's just coming together. When you give a man your all, 15 years, three kids, and you sacrifice your life, and he cheats on you with a 20-year-old child and lies to you, and then she put the picture up there. Now, here's the weird thing about this story. Vernon responds with a passage from the Bible that reads, "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another." And he captioned the post, "When people do these things, then we should hold hands and pray for them." Okay, so I don't know what he's trying. Is he trying to say his wife was lying?
I think what he's doing is he's putting up a pretty big smokescreen by quoting the Bible, but it's something that doesn't make sense. So it may be a better chosen passage.
Well, it worked for Swaggart. So
yeah, you know, exactly.
In case you haven't heard, the TSA lines at airports are as bad as they've ever been right now, and it's because there are more people flying. They estimate over 2 million a day. Come this summer. It's going to be insane at airports around the country. They have a brilliant solution to the problem with the TSA lines, hiring people to entertain everyone stuck in line.
Ugh.
Hey!
The American way, isn't it? Like at Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport. My favorite!
That's a great one.
They're having miniature horses walk around. Nice. In Seattle and Atlanta, people are playing live music. In Denver, they're handing out candy.
Oh, I like that. That's
good. Couldn't they just open up another line? Have they considered
well,
that?
That's what people want. But sure. In San Diego, they have clowns performing, ladies
oh,
and
clowns.
Gentlemen.
Oh, clowns.
Oh, my yes. God. Flying is bad enough.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're wondering, like, Joe, why don't the airports put that money towards more staff, it's because they can't. The money for TSA can only come from the Fed, the federal government, so the airports are basically powerless right now. So the airports are doing this.
What if there's got to be a way to finesse it? What if the clown comes up to you and says, hey, did you pack your own bag?
Hey, I'm going to profile you. You look like an Arab.
Anyway, there's a new product for sale called the Licky Brush.
Oh.
And it lets you finally experience the joy of licking your cat.
Oh.
But in a productive and sanitary way. It's shaped like a huge tongue, and you put it in your mouth, but it's really a brush. So when you lick your cat with it, you're brushing them.
Wow.
Isn't that special?
Wow.
It's going to launch on Kickstarter soon, and if you sign up at lickybrush.com with your email, they'll let you know when it's live. And
do they tell you to focus on the back of the cat?
The Licky Brush. Mike O'Mara Show, always looking for new sponsors. And now a little something. 21-year-old guy named Sean Chapman from, I guess this is a real town. I didn't have time to look it up. Howie in the Hills, Florida.
Well, Mike, if it's going to be somewhere, it's going to be in Florida.
I got to find that out. He shoplifted two steaks from a Publix grocery store.
Mm.
There's my grocery store, so I know they have them down here. He shoved them down his pants. A security guard spotted him, so Sean took off running. Unfortunately for him, he clocks in at around 300 pounds, and he wasn't quite ready for the high-speed chase. The cops quickly caught up with him when he ran out of breath, and they arrested him for retail theft, and they got the steaks back. The good news is the steaks were nicely marinated. Thank you, everybody. All right. We'll take a break. We're with Rob and Joe for the Rob and Joe Show. We've got the audio about Rob Spiewak coming back on Wide Open Wednesday. 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673 as we're trying to train you.
Sell it, babe. Sell it.
Yes, sell it. You sell it. We'll have the audio about when we come back. You sell it.
Hello there, I'm Rob Spiewak.
And I'm Katie Von Herman.
There's a brand new Cake and Cookies that involves Katie traveling. You're going to want to check this out because not only does she go to the beach, but she gets a brand new mouth guard and travels all the way back to seventh grade.
The beach was awesome. Seventh grade was awful.
Not only did she revisit adolescence, now she can't even say it.
Adolescence.
Do it again.
Adolescence.
Much better.
Did I whistle?
Katie talking much like this show, a work in progress, but check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's Cake and Cookies. Hey, what's my last name?
Spiewak.
Cake and Cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our TMOS 2016 bonus package. Don't you think you deserve a little something, something for yourself? A tiny indulgence for you. Each week, We record a sixth episode of the show uncensored, commercial-free, and it can be yours if you subscribe to the 2016 TMOS Bonus Package. You'll get full access to all of the 2016 bonus content, plus the entire show anthology at over a 25% savings, all waiting for you at MikeOMaraShow.com. Look for the banner marked TMOS Bonus Packages, and don't worry that the year is almost half over. Pony wants me to let you know that because when you subscribe, you'll get an entire year of access from the day you sign up. So whether you want to buy it, give it, or renew it, click that bonus banner and get her done. The TMOS bonus package. Order it today. You deserve it. Let's open up the audio vault for Wednesday, May 18th, 2016. And we're here with Rob and Joe from The Rob and Joe Show.
Now, you know my favorite D.C. suburban town is Vienna, right?
Oh, you love the brown Vienna. That's what you call it.
But somebody actually posted a travelogue for another suburb, and I'd like to play you the audio, but I also want you to look at the video, which is on our Facebook page, our show Facebook page. This is called Welcome. Mike, did you ever spend a lot of time in Annandale?
Oh, yeah, my sister lived in Annandale.
Oh, then you'll enjoy this very much. Welcome to Annandale.
Are you an emotionally disfigured person whose life has gone completely off track because of your own lack of judgment? Do you need somewhere to live cheap and fast? Is no price too low? Then welcome to Annandale, Virginia. This miserable ashtray of a town soaked with urine is for you. Annandale has dutifully functioned as a funnel for the dregs of society from the rest of Virginia for over 65 years. Founded by John Boarhead Annandale, whose brain was rotted by syphilis, you too can come home to horrible traffic patterns, drivers who repeatedly crash into telephone poles, knocking out your power, regular near fatalities as a pedestrian, and the cozy, numbing sight of people who have given up on their lives all around you. Come live where the police won't try to find the person who emptied your checking account from an ATM down the street, but will ticket you for an inspired safety inspection sticker. There's nothing routine about Annandale, Virginia. Every day you may have to run across four lanes of traffic just to get to your car, and there's multiple thefts every week within a three-block radius of Columbia Pike and Backlick Road. Annandale, Virginia. When you see people walking around here who look like they haven't totally given up on their lives, you want to walk up to them and tell them you shouldn't be here. Get fucked, you miserable assholes. In Annandale, Virginia.
That's nice.
So full disclosure, my mother was an Adam.
Oh, really?
That's
Go
correct.
Adams from That's the Annandale correct. Adams.
Annandale
yeah.
Adam, wow.
Yeah, it's a great town. And that guy's a big fan.
Yeah, full disclosure. Full disclosure, legal requirements prohibit me from sharing my Annandale connection.
I know it, though.
Yeah, I know you know it. I know you do. And the only thing that jogged it was when Joe said Adam.
Yeah, go Adams.
An Annandale Adam. Yes, sir. It was an atomic, the Adam was the mascot.
Yeah, it really, really looked like something from when they opened Disneyland. Right. You know, this is the high school of the future.
Well, they named it that because no one there would ever split that thing. That's in there.
There's only one thing.
Aspire to it.
Unfortunately, only one thing left out of that promo. They should have included this.
Oh, is there a real influence there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
I've never been.
Well, we have some vacation coming up.
Yeah. Oh,
in certain circles, I have heard to Annandale referred to as Little Korea.
Yeah. Oh, all right. And I believe there is some really, really exceptional Chinese food and Korean food there, but you take your life in
Duck
your hands.
Chang's is one of the better Chinese restaurants in the D.C.
Pony lived there, right, Matt?
Yeah, I grew up in Annandale.
You did?
So you know,
yeah.
You know, hey. You know, you,
all of that is correct. That video, everything.
Confirmation!
Are you Korean?
I wish.
Yeah, he wishes.
That's why he's into anime.
Easier.
Oh, yeah, that
my
could
God,
be.
He's been influenced as a child.
Yeah. Am I right about the Little Korea thing, Pony?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's. Yeah. It's like the drugstore district in Manassas. It's the same thing with Korean restaurants in Annandale.
That's it. Absolutely.
Is there one you want to plug while we're talking about it?
I would say Sorak Garden. That's right. A really good one.
He came up with that awfully fast, didn't he?
Man, it's you know what? We could do a whole show, 6 degrees of separation from Annandale. Wow.
This is great. Cappy Pfeiffer sent this to us. She knows we love baby laughs, but this is great because this is a baby in a stroller actually laughing at a kid falling off a skateboard.
That's cool.
Pretty advanced sense of humor for a little kid.
I love that.
Let's hear that one more time.
That's awesome.
You hear the dad in the back, ooh.
Ooh, yeah. Dad wasn't laughing. And also, Seth Meyers, they analyzed some stuff about Trump supporters, and the results may surprise you.
Experts are suggesting that Donald Trump's base of support may be much greater than polls are reporting because some voters may be reluctant to admit to pollsters that they agree with Trump's ideas. Guys, that's a red flag. Your president shouldn't be a guilty pleasure. I know I should be getting a salad, but I'm just going to vote Trump. I am so bad right now.
That is your magic audio vault. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Hey, Rob and Joe, so the murder mystery thing, we didn't get the plugs in at the beginning of the show, and I know Rob joins in on that. Tell us all you can about what's going on with that.
Yeah, Sing for Your Life. We're debuting July 2nd.
Yeah, it's a karaoke-themed murder mystery where we're parroting reality TV music shows. My name is Carson
Seacrest
on the show. Yeah, dielaughingproductions.com. You can see all that. We'll be at the DC Improv August 14th. I'll be at the Improv myself with JB Smoove doing comedy June 10th and 11th. And, of course, robandjoeshow.com. New episode every week. Subscribe on iTunes. Listen to the TMOS app. You know how to Stitcher. Any way you can, listen to the show.
Awesome.
That was a positively joyful plug. That's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Is our Rob going to be in your show again, Rob?
Never again.
So? Never again. It did not go well.
That first caller ruined it for us.
Oh, I hope that family gets closure. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara is saying, see you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.